The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter Number 4, Texts Number 7 through 10, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasath Hikari, recorded on December 31st, 2015, in Sydney, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Sa Vai Purvam Abhut Raja Pandya Dravida Sat Tama Indradumya Iti Kyata Vishnu Vrata Rayana Savai Purvam Abhut Raja Anjo Dardiva Sattama Indrajumna Iti Khyato
Vishnu
Vrata Parayana Savai Purvam Abhut
Raja
Anjo Dravida Sattama Indrajumna Iti Khyato
Vishnu
Vrata Parayana.
Text 8, no translation. This Gajendra had formerly been a Vaishnava and the king of the country known as Panja, which is in the province of Dravida, South India. In his previous life, he was known as Indrajumna Maharaj. Text 8. Saekada radana kala atmavam krihitamana vrata ishvaram harim jatadaras tapaso apluto chitam samarchayam asa kula kalashrama. Indrajumna Maharaj retired from family life and went to the Malaya hills where he had a small cottage for his ashram. He wore matted locks on his head and always engaged in austerities. Once, while observing a vow of silence, he was fully engaged in the worship of the Lord and absorbed in the ecstasy of love of Godhead. Yadrichchaya tatra mahayashamuni samagame chushaganai parishrita tang vikshatushnam akritarhanadikam rahasyapasinam rishishkupopaha. While Indrajumna Maharaj was engaged in ecstatic meditation, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the great sage Agastya Muni arrived there, surrounded by his disciples. When the Muni saw that Maharaj Indrajumna, who was sitting in a secluded place, remained silent and did not follow the etiquette of offering him a reception, he was very angry. Tasma imam shapam madans asadhur ayang daratma kritta buddhir adya vipravamanta vishatam tamishram yata gajastandamati sa eva. Agastya Muni then spoke this curse against the king. This king Indrajumna is not at all gentle. Being low and uneducated, he has insulted a Brahmin. May he therefore enter the region of darkness and receive the dull, dumb body of an elephant. Purport. By Srila Prabhupada, the savior of the fallen souls. An elephant is very strong. It has a very big body, and it can work very hard and eat a large quantity of food. But its intelligence is not at all commensurate with its size and strength. Thus, in spite of so much bodily strength, the elephant works as a menial servant for a human being. Agyastamuni thought it wise to curse the king to become an elephant, because the powerful king did not receive Agyastamuni as one is obliged to receive a Brahmin. Yet although Agyastamuni cursed Maharaj Indrajumna to become an elephant, the curse was indirectly a benediction, for by undergoing one life as an elephant, Indrajumna Maharaj ended the reactions for all the sins of his previous life. Immediately after the expiry of the elephant's life, he was promoted to Vaikuntha Loka to become a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan in a body exactly like that of the Lord. This is called Sarupya Mukti.
Bandeha Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Bharijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Mishakam Vitamscha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So this amazing pastime reminds us of the similar pastime when Narada Muni cursed Nalukuvera and Manigriva to become trees to stand in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So they became very low birth as trees, but they became liberated immediately after leaving those tree bodies. So similarly here, elephant body and then liberation. So the point being made by Prabhupada, one point is, even though it seems to be a horrible thing to be cursed, actually it's a blessing. So this is actually the auspiciousness of a great personality. Everything he says, everything he does is for the benefit of all living entities. So we should never judge from a material perspective. Some people think, well, if I'm complimented, if I'm told how much I'm appreciated, then that's very good. Oh yes, very good. He's a great sage. He says he really appreciated what I did, so he is a very great sage. He appreciated me, so therefore I appreciate him. But if he tells me I'm a rascal, I'm a nonsense, so he's no good. You see? The spiritual master praises me, oh, he's very good. If he chastises me, oh, what's wrong with Guru Maharaj? He doesn't realize how good I am, you see. So we have to learn, it's a very good lesson here, you see. We have to learn whether I am praised or I am chastised by the spiritual master. It's a benediction. Of course, it's easy to say that, but when you're getting chastised, that's when it's tough. But actually, Prabhupada said the student who is more chastised, he is advanced. Lord Chaitanya was chastised by his spiritual master. So, are you better than Lord Chaitanya? Then you don't require to be chastised. Because Lord Chaitanya was chastised, but I'm better than that. I don't require to be chastised. You see the point? Actually, we're all rascals. What is the proof? We have these material bodies. That proves we are rascals. Therefore, we require to be rectified. We're contaminated with lust, with anger, with greed, with madness, illusion, and envy. There's so much crud covering our hearts. If the spiritual master tells us we're a rascal, wow, that's great mercy. I know when I was trained up, Prabhupada certified that I was very well trained. I got trained by His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami when I was a young brahmachari. Prabhupada wrote me a letter. He said, "You have been trained up under the expert guidance of Vishnu Janaswami." And he let me know again and again that I'm a rascal. Even just one time I was driving him in the Jeep back. We were under a little preaching program. So backing out of the driveway, you know, sometimes you don't pay good attention. You run over the curb, you know, when you back out. You don't quite clear the driveway properly, go over the curb. He said, "That was rascal driving." So he reminded me, "I'm a rascal." Again and again, he reminded me, "I'm a rascal." But Prabhupada certified that was expert training, you see. So the more you can understand, you are a rascal, you see. Now you're starting to wake up and come out of the clouds of illusion. "Oh, really? I thought I was a great Paramahamsa. And you're telling me I'm a rascal?" Well, that's how you become a Paramahamsa. When you realize you're a rascal, the more you realize you're a rascal, now you're really becoming a Paramahamsa, you see. Because that is a qualification of advanced devotees. They feel very fallen, very, very fallen. Look at Prabhupada's prayer to Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, "Adora Duri, all the happy day." He says, "Save me of fallen, your divine grace." He presents himself before his spiritual master as a fallen soul. You see? So the more you can feel, yes, I'm very fallen. I'm degraded. I'm contaminated. You see, that is your advancement. Prabhupada's sister, Pishima, we used to, of course, her name is Baba Tarini, but that's too familiar to call her by her name. We called her Auntie or Pishima. She used to come to Mayapur during the festival, the Mayapur festival. After she would sit in one place, she would wash it with water because she felt herself so contaminated. "I sat on the floor and I've contaminated the floor, so I have to wash the floor where I sat." She felt so humble. You see, I'm contaminated. Just the touch of my body is polluting the floor, so I have to clean the floor after I get up from sitting. So this humility is a very important thing. Very, very important thing. Trinadupi sanichena tororapi sahishnuna amanina mandadena kirtaniya sarahari. One should think oneself lower than the straw in the street. He should be more tolerant than a tree. He should give all respect to others without expecting even the slightest tinge of respect for himself. And what is the result? Namaruchi. He can taste the name. He can actually relish the nectar of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're not there yet. We chanted 16 rounds. "Oh, good, I got my rounds done." You see? Not that, "Oh, how can I keep chanting 24 hours? You see? That's Namaruchi. How can I keep chanting 24 hours? How can I get 24 non-stop chanting? So that name of Krishna becomes more sweet, more relishable, the more we become humble, feeling ourselves not even worthy of being allowed in this temple. We're so contaminated. But devotees are so kind in letting me enter the temple. They're not kicking me out. You see, I'm allowed to enter this temple. Just see how kind the Vaishnavas are. Therefore, I have to fall at their feet in humility because they're so kindly allowing me to be here in this temple. So in this way, developing this humble mood, it becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. The more you feel you're fallen, the more you're advanced. And the more you think, "Oh yes, Prabhu, now I'm very advanced," then you're fallen, you see. So try to develop this humble mood of always appreciating the Vaishnavas always appreciate in the spiritual master. Whether it's praise or whether you're caught doing something right or you're caught doing something wrong, be equipoise. They're equally good benedictions. Some say that to be caught doing something wrong is even a greater benediction. Even a greater benediction. So develop this equipoised mood. This is called Brahmabhutta. Brahmabhutta prasanatmana sochati na kankshati samaksarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. That position of seeing everything equally, you see. Friends and enemy, praise and chastisement. You see, that's the position from which you actually enter into pure devotional service. And that position is very ecstatic. Because such a person doesn't experience any more distress in his life. There's no more difficulties for such a person. He sees everything as a stepping stone to take him closer and closer to Krishna. Every moment, every experience he has, whether it's so-called good or so-called bad, it's all good for that devotee who has that equipoised vision of seeing everything as a great blessing upon me. Kunti Devi felt that the stresses were actually better than the so-called good times. Krishna, please give me more bad times. Because that's when I can really take shelter of you, you see. Vipadarsha tatanshashat tatra tatta jagadguru bhavanam darshanam yatsad apunarbhava darshanam. When calamities happen to me, that's when I can really take shelter of you and I can really see you within my heart of hearts and no longer see birth and death. Apunarbhava darshanam, you see. I will not see again birth and death when I am seeing you in those difficult times or the times when I can really, really see you clearer than ever. So you develop this kind of vision, the material energy won't be able to touch you anymore. You'll become untouchable to the material energy. So try to develop this Maya-proof consciousness. Of seeing everything is the mercy of Krishna. Whether I'm praised, whether I'm chastised, whether I'm sick, whether I'm healthy, whether I'm rich, whether I'm poor, whether I'm young, and whether I'm old. See everything is the very special mercy of Krishna to give you the absolute best facility to take shelter of Him. And you know what? Krishna is perfectly arranging everything. He is the supreme orchestrator. As Prabhupada confirmed in his final days of Vrindavan, not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. So right now, for each and every one of us, Krishna has a customized, form-fitted program for each and every one of us that we can take shelter of Him as soon as possible. You don't have to wait to get your special mercy from Krishna. Your special mercy is coming to you right now, this very minute. How will you take it? You see, that's up to you, how you will take it. You will recognize it or you not recognize it. But by hearing from sadhus, from guru, from scripture, our three parallel lines of authority. By hearing from these personalities, we can get the vision, we can get the understanding, we can get the comprehension, we can get the realization to appreciate everything that's happening to us at every minute as the greatest blessings of Krishna. So in this way we can rise beyond the modes of nature. We can enter into that transcendental dimension beyond time and space, where all kinds of anxieties and miseries and confusion and delusion and profusion are reduced down to the point of nil, nothing. That's where we're supposed to be, you see. All we're saying is get back to your normal self. Why are you being such an abnormal rascal? That's rascaldom is an abnormality. It is not the natural position. Get back to your natural position of pure love of Krishna, where every minute you're thinking of Krishna, you're trying to please Krishna, with your every thought in your mind, every word coming out of your mouth, everything that you do, you're always trying to give the greatest possible pleasure to Krishna at every minute. While you're walking down the hall, while you're going to the stool room, whatever you're doing, while you're out distributing books, whether you're offering an arati, whether you're getting up in the morning, whether you're taking rest at night, at every minute, honoring prasadam, washing the dishes, going to work, maintain your family, whatever you're doing at every minute, you must do it in a mood of offering of love to Krishna. Actually, we owe Krishna everything. Our very existence is his gift to us. He has gifted you with your very existence. And he has given you all facility to have unlimited happiness at every minute. So we simply have to recognize the love of Krishna and start to reciprocate. Even if you're not very good at it, that's okay. You try your best and you'll get better. It's like somebody wants to learn to play the piano. So they sit down and immediately can play like a professional. No, it's not possible. In the beginning, it's not very good. But by practice, they get better and better, and one day they become a master piano player. You see. So the same thing with devotional service. In the beginning, we're rough around the edges. Or like a bull in a china shop in the beginning. You see. Disaster, creating catastrophe wherever we go. But by practice, by sincerely trying your best, by praying to Krishna, by praying to your spiritual master, you see, please help me, Guru Maharaj. Please help me, Lord Chaitanya. Please help me, Krishna, to get over this neophyte stage where I'm creating so many offenses. In my mind, there's so many offenses. I say so many offensive things. I do so many offensive things. Please help me get over this offensive stage and come to the stage of pure bhakti. If you beg for it, I guarantee you it will come faster. Think, why should I pray for pure devotional service? I'll just let things take their course. I'll just do my duty and let it come when it comes. Well, it'll take longer if you do that. But if you intensely desire to achieve pure devotional service and you're begging for it every day by that special prayer that Prabhupada gave us, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, I can guarantee every one of you this magic will happen. There'll be an amazing awakening within your heart, and also in the world, you'll see an amazing difference in what's happening around you. If you just take this intense desire now as the center of your whole life, the center of your whole consciousness, I must awaken pure love of God within my heart as soon as possible. I guarantee you the whole world will change for you if you take that mood. Within and without, things will be magically different. If you take that intense desire within your heart. So we have a few minutes left. I can ask if there's any questions. We also have almost as many people on the internet today, tuned in from around the world, different countries, from India, from Malaysia, from a country called Australia also. We have people tuned in. Okay, we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam how Brahmins may curse various personalities. How different are those Brahmins from us? For example, 1,000 times more powerful. Sometimes I have felt offended but naturally try to be humble. I can't imagine cursing anyone. That's good. You shouldn't. We're not in that level that we can curse. Of course, Prabhupada actually did it one time. Mr. Nair got a special prayer from Prabhupada. And he died. We don't normally do such things. Prabhupada can do, we can. Mr. Nair was obstructing our Juhu temple. He was cheating us. He took the money and he wouldn't give the land. And through tricks, he was keeping the money and not giving the property. So when he left the body, Prabhupada was like, he was like, jai. Normally we don't do that, but Mr. Nair was, in fact, Prabhupada said, we will all go back to God except for Mr. Nair. He was really a demon. Sometimes, so we're not, but we're not on that level of Prabhupada to do such things. I can't imagine cursing anyone, and even if I did, I can't imagine it having any effect. If I guarantee, if you do, it'll bounce back on you, Prabhu. If you want to curse, you might as well just go ahead and curse yourself, because that's where it's going to come. Don't try it. You'll get it on yourself. How does during surgical operations a material element like chloroform or anesthetic put the soul in unconscious state whilst the gross body is being operated on? It has to do with the brain, the chemistry of the brain. Okay. How does the soul extricate itself from the subtle body by becoming a pure devotee? Somebody just asked me in the email, he said, does the subtle body go with us back to Godhead? The answer is no. The subtle body is the chain that keeps you in the material world. You see, because you go from one gross body to another gross body to another gross body, birth after birth. The subtle body is what carries you, just like the wind or the air carries aroma. You see, the subtle body carries you to your next gross body. That subtle body is what's taking you birth after birth after birth after birth. The gross body you automatically give up, but the subtle body is what you're really attached to, very strongly attached to. The subtle body is what's keeping you bound. So to get free from that subtle body, then you have to you have to awaken your even more subtle body, which is your spiritual body, by engaging in devotional service. By engaging in the activities of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, what you're actually doing is you're turning on or reviving your spiritual body. Because you're not going to go bodiless, you see. The soul is not bodiless. But the more that you awaken your spiritual body, your subtle body becomes taken away, diminished, removed. How is it that paradoxically the inferior external energy punishes the superior marginal energy? Actually, the soul itself is never actually out of its position. It's a matter of perception. It's like you're sleeping in the bed, but you're dreaming you're being chased by a tiger. The tiger's not actually there, but still you're suffering like anything because of your false identification, because of your misidentification with the dream, you are suffering. But actually, you're in a safe position. So the soul is already in a safe position. He's the eternal servant of Krishna. But when he dreams, he's something else, you see. That's the difficulty. You quoted the Trinadapi verse. Why did Agastya Muni curse at all? Is he not meant to be tolerant too? So this is a special benediction to liberate Indradumna Maharaj. How to sustain the intense desire to achieve pure love of Godhead? One day we have it, the other day we don't. It's very simple. Whenever you don't have it, ask for it. Krishna, today I don't feel like becoming a pure devotee. I just feel like enjoying this world today. I'm in Maya. Well, that's the day you have to intensify your prayers. Whenever you're forgetting Krishna, oh, my dear Lord, please help me. I'm forgetting you. Please help me to remember you. Whenever you're forgetting, that's a great opportunity, you see, to intensify your prayers. How to receive chastisement with an attitude of gratitude. If it often hurts, although you know it's good, it's hard to accept. You got to practice it. It's an art. How to accept chastisement appreciatively is an art. You have to master the art. Every time, if you keep trying to take it properly, gradually you'll master the art. But it takes time. You get to practice it. What was Indradumna's fault, given that he was intensely meditating on Lord Vishnu? I didn't notice any fault. That's why it turned out to be a benediction for him. I'm not at the level of Kunti Maharani, where there are so many things we have to tolerate. How can we remember Krishna at every moment? Beg Kunti Devi to help you. Is being engaged amongst dualities simply a matter of being equipoised amongst dualities simply a matter of practice? It's a matter of proper understanding and practice. You have to properly understand, according to scripture, what's going on, why you're experiencing the dualities, and what is the transcendental dimension beyond the dualities. The understanding has to be there so you can practice it. Practice transcendental consciousness or Krishna consciousness properly. Should Vaishnava qualities be consciously cultivated, or does it automatically come by devotional service? If you have a candle that you want to get rid of, you want it to burn down as fast as possible, what's the easiest way to do that? You light it at both ends. So if you want to become a pure devotee and develop all the Vaishnava qualities, should you just try to cultivate them, or should you just do devotional service and not even think about cultivating them? The best thing is you do both things simultaneously. You see? You study yourself. See, well, read the 26 qualities of a devotee and see which ones do I have a little bit, which ones do I have nothing at all, where can I improve? That's very helpful, to study those 26 qualities. At the same time, do your devotional service nicely. If you're distributing books, or you're managing a temple, or you're raising a family in Krishna consciousness, whatever you're doing, do it in great enthusiasm, with great determination and patience. That will also bring you to the level of developing those qualities. So do both simultaneously is the best thing. Burn away the candle of material desire from both ends, and you'll go away quicker. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chanadapi verse is quoted. Chanadapi Tarorapi. But in CC it is Chanadapi Sanichina Taroiva Sahishnina. What is the difference between Api and Eva? Look in the word for word in the book. In the book, look up the word for word meanings and get that answer. Is if in Krishna consciousness, if I lose my, let's see, if I lose my something, if I lose my patience, how do I control myself? Well, if you just realize I'm losing my patience, Krishna, please help me get my patience back. Again, as soon as you notice the deficiency, beg Krishna to help you, and he will. Krishna has been watching you, traveling with you as the super soul for millions of lifetimes, accompanying you, just waiting for that wonderful day when you decide to reconnect with him. Do you think he will ignore you if you beg for his help when you're having difficulty? He will shower all benedictions upon you. You simply have to beg Krishna to help you. You said last night that someone is already meant to be our guru, and that Krishna knows who that is. Does that mean we have no choice in selecting a guru? Is it predetermined? Yeah, this is a similar question. If Krishna knows when I'm going to surrender, then do I really have the power to surrender? It's the same question. Krishna knows everything, so he knows when I'm going to surrender, so I really can't do it on my own. I have to let him do it? No. Just because Krishna knows doesn't mean that you're not the one who has to do it. You have to do it. So the same thing. Krishna knows who your spiritual master will be, but that doesn't mean you just sit around and wait for him to tell you some voice from the sky, okay, Bhakta Joe, your spiritual master is so-and-so. In the beginning of my spiritual quest, or actually after many years of my spiritual quest, I reached a point really getting serious to know how could I become a self-realized soul. And having been raised as a Christian, I knew that Lord Jesus was a self-realized soul, so I wanted to become like that, like Lord Jesus. So how could you achieve it? So I was studying the Bible, trying to figure it out. What made Jesus a self-realized soul? What was his secret? What made him like that? So I can become like that too. And one day in the book of John, I found it. Christ says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. That's actually another way of saying Sarvadaman Paridraja, is it? But I had one problem. I didn't know what God wanted me to do. So I was just waiting. Okay, Lord, I'm waiting. You tell me what my mission is, what my duty is. Just waiting, but no voice is coming, you see. So instead of saying, well, there's no voice coming, tell me who my guru is going to be or when I should do this or that. You see, it doesn't work that way. I was wondering, you know, when is that voice going to tell me what my mission is, what my duty is? That time I was a singer-songwriter, and I was doing a little mini gig at a vegetarian co-op. And it was kind of depressing. There was only one person listening to me, and a little girl. Nobody else, just one little girl was listening to me as I sang my song. And she was really perceptive. It was amazing. Because after I finished the song, she came up to me and she said, don't worry. She could see I was depressed. She was the only member of the audience. She came up and she said, don't worry. God can hear you. Wow. That was something divine. A little girl came up and said that. I mean, it was something very special. And that opened a whole new perspective for me. I was waiting for God to tell me what I'm supposed to do, but I wasn't hearing him, but he can hear. I realized I cannot hear God, but he can hear me, you see. So there I knew. Now you start begging. You beg, you beg, you beg, you beg. And now I had a new mantra. I wasn't a devotee yet. I hadn't even, I was saying, my daily mantra was, dear God, please guide me how I can be your perfect servant. And then I prayed like that day after day after day, and then finally one day there was a knock on the door. I was staying with one of my fans, Mike Bridges, and his friend Margaret came from down the street. She knocked on the door on Sunday morning. She said, there's a Hare Krishna Swami in town. He's going to be at my apartment in 1 hour. And I went there and it was Vishnujan Swami. And I got the answer, you see. I was begging, begging. And Krishna sent Vishnujan Swami to Austin to answer my prayer, you see. So you may not know who your guru is going to be or you know. But this bad Krishna, instead of waiting for Krishna to say, okay, here's your spiritual master, you beg Krishna, my dearest Lord Krishna, please bless me now. I can understand who is that person who is going to fully connect me with you. Please bless me that I can understand who is that guru who will fully connect me with you so I can surrender at his lotus feet and give my life to him. You see? So don't be reactive, be proactive with him. You take a proactive position of begging Krishna to help you. And then it'll work great. Now let's see if we have any questions coming in from our internet audience. There's only one? Okay. This is from a disciple in Lithuania, Gandharvika Devi Das. Is it good to accept teachings from the younger? To what level it can happen? Well, there is a saying that gold can be accepted even from a filthy place. Of course, our younger devotees, they are not filthy. So the point is, you can accept good instructions can be taken from anywhere. Even from non-devotees, Prabhupada took instructions sometimes. He had been inspired to spread Krishna consciousness of the English. He had been ordered and inspired greatly to spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. So in his householder days, he began Back to Godhead magazine, an English publication for this purpose. By distributing the magazine to some Hindu gentleman in Delhi, he was advised that people will not take a magazine so seriously. Why don't you print books? That will be taken more seriously. This was a non-devotee, just some pious Hindu gentleman. And Papa took it, yes. You see. So this is someone spiritually longer. He wasn't even a god brother. He was just a pious Hindu gentleman. And Papa took that and yes. Yes, that is very. But he has told me is very correct. And he started, and then he worked on the Bhagavatam, you see. So, but it's not a matter of who is saying it. A devotee is open to be instructed from wherever it may come. My dear Lord Krishna, here I am. However you want to instruct me is fine. From my superiors, from my peers, from my juniors. However you want to give it to me, here I am. I'm ready to take it, you see. Because I simply want to become your pure devotee, and it's how you want to communicate with me and give me the guidance and the instructions I need. That's up to you. It's not up to me to say, well, Krishna, I'll only take instructions from my guru and nobody else. Oh, wait a minute. That's not pure devotional service, you see. You have to be open how Krishna is going to reveal himself to you, whoever he wants to, you see. So that's the way to do it, understand it. Any more questions? I think that's it on the internet. Any more local questions? I see a pen coming forward. Oh, there's a paper. This is pointing this. Oh, okay, here we go. Why is it that Trinadapi Sanichena is quoted differently? I can't say. But we know the purport, that's what really counts. This is a technical thing for scholars to discuss. But we're beyond the level of scholarship. It's a scholarship question. And it can be dealt with by those who could do some intensive scholastic investigation. But it doesn't matter for us because we know the purport. Sometimes we do see in Prabhupada's books that in the purports for Sanskrit verses in the Bhagavatam, he will say sometimes this verse is translated this way, sometimes it's translated that way. If it's translated this way, it has this meaning. It's translated that way, it has that meaning, but they both come to the same conclusion. So we do see that. It's not unheard of. And Prabhupada himself talks about it in his purports sometimes. Just recently I gave a class, and in the purport Prabhupada is saying like that. So you say, well, then how the Bhagavatam can have two slightly different versions? What's going on here? Prabhupada didn't worry about that. He saw the transcendental significance of either version. And so that's, we follow Prabhupada's line in that way. Well, one of them has to be bogus. It can't be bona fide, one could think. But that's a material vision. You see. We have to take it the way Prabhupada would take it. And see, well, in this way it's transcendentally significant, in that way it's also transcendentally significant. So which one will I chant when I do my Shikshastakam? Which one should I do? You could ask, you see. Take your pick. Take your pick. Either way, you're okay. Just like in the Tulsi prayers, you know, Vrindayai Tulsi Devayai Priyayai Kesava Sisha. Some say Vishnu Bhakti Pali, some say Krishna Bhakti Pali. Which one should you do? Well, for me, there's no question of which one we should do, because when I joined the movement, we weren't doing Tulsi worship yet. And a few months after I joined, it was introduced by Srila Prabhupada to us. And he gave us a letter on how to do it. And in the letter he says, Vishnu Bhakti Prati Devi. So hey, for me there's no question. That's how we did it in the very beginning when Prabhupada first introduced it. And it's right there in the Veda base. But then I was told by Dravida that later in Vrindavan, Prabhupada said, actually you should say Krishna Bhakti Prati Devi. But that's not documented. In the songbook, they put Krishna Bhakti Prati Devi in the Vaishnava songbook. So which one are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you, if I'm leading Tulsi prayers, you're going to hear Vishnu Bhakti Prati Devi. But if you're leading it and you do Krishna, I may say Krishna along with you. You see? So I'm cool with it either way. I'm not like, this is bogus. No, I'm cool either way. Because actually, who is Krishna? He's the original Vishnu. Why are we called Vaishnavas? Because we are devotees of Vishnu. Vishnu? What do you mean? Yes, there are two categories. There's three. Vishnu Tattva, Shiva Tattva, and Jiva Tattva. Three categories, right? So, in what category is Krishna? Is he Vishnu Tattva, Shiva Tattva, Jiva? He's Vishnu Tattva. Krishna is the original Vishnu Tattva. So he's Vishnu also. Vishnu is a category. And Krishna, therefore, is the original Vishnu. So I have no problem, you know, in that way. So it's a matter of proper understanding. If you're into nitpicking and looking for faults, well, good luck. You can nitpick and find your way right out of ISKCON. I've seen many people do it. But you follow Prabhupada's mood and you'll be in good shape. I guarantee you, you'll be in very good shape if you follow Prabhupada's mood. Not a nitpicker, fault finder mood. Looking for an excuse not to surrender to Krishna, not to surrender to Guru, not to follow Prabhupada's instructions. One of my relatives committed suicide. That's such a stupid thing. Her sister is inconsolable. I quoted Dehi Nosman Yata Dehe verse. She is very angry with God. How can I convince or console her? Well, it depends. She becomes a little receptive. I mean, how could she be angry with God? God says you shouldn't commit suicide. This person disobeyed God, so how are you going to be angry with God? That doesn't make any sense. To convince others, if they're not receptive, you can't do it. But if they are a little receptive, Prabhupada says, first you be convinced, and then you convince others. But I'm sure you're convinced that it was wrong. It's a very difficult thing. It's a horrible thing to commit suicide. They become ghosts. There's no way out. That person has become a ghost. It's a hellish position. So suicide is a crazy thing to do. Absolutely crazy thing to do. I'm very sorry to hear this. This person has committed suicide. All I can do is pray that the person who's now in a ghostly body can get out of that condition as soon as possible and get another opportunity to awaken their Krishna consciousness. This is impetus for us to become even more aggressive now in Krishnizing this world, because people are committing suicide every day. Practically at every minute somebody's committing suicide somewhere. So we have to develop a mood of compassion. We really have to come to the Goshti Anandi platform. You see, there's two types of devotees. There's Bhajan Anandi and Goshti Anandi. Bhajan Anandi is thinking about making himself Krishna conscious. The Goshti Anandi, he is thinking that my duty is to awaken the fallen souls of this world to Krishna consciousness. The Acharya, you see, he is called Goshti Anandi. He wants to always increase the number of disciples. More disciples, more disciples, more disciples, more disciples. More devotees, more devotees. His goal, his aggression is to make the whole world Krishna conscious. That's called the Goshti Anandi. So we have to get out of this Bhajan Anandi mood of of making ourselves Krishna conscious only. And embrace this mood, because there's so many people suffering. It's horrible what's going on out there. It's horrible. Unspeakable horror going on all over this world right now. So we have to really develop a Goshti Anandi mood of wanting to save the world. Prabhupada said that's our mission, to deliver the whole world from irreligion. So unless you're thinking delivering the whole world, you're still hovering in the Bhajan Anandi consciousness. So we have to come out of that Bhajan Anandi consciousness and embrace the world deliverance mission that Prabhupada has given us, so these people can be saved. Okay, well, let's see if there are any other questions here. No, that's it. All our questions are done. We've actually gone 10 minutes over time. So we can safely end the class now without any feeling that we cut it short. So we're very grateful that you've all come today. We appreciate very much you've all come. And may Krishna bless all of you, that you can have that awakening of pure love of God as soon as possible within your hearts. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.